Okay, Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Benachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKedesh is Daf Tzadi Tet. We're about a quarter of the way down, and we got up to Tana Rabbanan. As we had yesterday, we had all the Shulchanes that were sitting there in front of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan, like Talmidim, Lifnei Rabbam. And let's talk about the different ways that the different Mandi Omrim understand how it is that these shulchanot were utilized. So, Tana Rabbanan, Asara shulchanot asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made these 10 additional shulchanot, but they weren't used. The ones that were used was only Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo hayu misadrin et alechem ela al shel Moshe. Shenemar, v'yet al shulchan asher alav lechem apanim zahav. So, it talks about here, in the Pasuk, one particular shulchan, ha-shulchan, and that's right there in the Lachim, where it's talking about those things that Shlomo HaMelech made, there was that shulchan that the lechem aponim was put on it. The same thing was true about the menorot. Eser menorot asa Shlomo, but they didn't really light 10 menorot. Lo ayu mevikin ela b'shel Moshe, shenemar. This Pasuk does not appear in Malachim, but in Divrei Hayomim, where we have essentially the same parak, it says the same lashon: Menorat haZahav neiroteha l'va'er va'erav. So apparently there was one Menorat Zahav, and that is a reference clearly to the original, and the rest were a representation of the Chochmas and so on, but it wasn't for the actual mitzvah of the Hadlaka. So says the Tana Kama. Rebbe Elazar ben Shammua Omer, not true. Actually, all of the Shulchanot were in use, and all of the Menorot were in use, because we can find also in Divrei Hayamim, psukim that refer to all of the Shulchanot and Menorot, Beloshen Rabim, et ha-Shulchanot ve'alehem lechem apanim. And the same thing is true about the Menorot, and bekulano yumad likin, Shenemar et ha-minorot v'neirotehem leva'aram kamishprat lifnei atvir zahav sagra. So apparently, all of these minorot were all likivara. Well, so how, seems to be a pretty big machlokas in the psukim, not only among, how do they understand the other psukim? So Rabbi Yehuda, how does he explain the Tanakhama? Says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama that says, lo ayu misadrim ela al shel Moshe, ma ani mekayem v'et ha-shulchanot aleihem lechem apanim? I understand that to mean, because I hold like the Tanakhama, the shlosha shulchanot shayu b'migdash. We're going to see that there were three shulchanot that were in use for the lechem aponim. It's not a reference to the 10 shulchanot of Shlomo. It is the two that were on the ulam. They were on the porch in the entryway to the heichal, and there were two right next to the door, and they were mibifnim habayit. So they were right at the back of the ulam, but they were right at the door where you would walk into the Heichal from the Ulam. And one of them was made of silver, and one of them was made of gold. And how were they used? Al shel kesev noten lechem apanim b'knisato. When the Kohani were coming with the lechem, they would set it down for a moment on kesev. And then, as they went in, they would then put it onto the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, and when they were coming out, the Kohanim, we'll see that these were different Kohanim, the Kohanim who were coming out would bring the old lechem and put it back, not onto the original silver one that it had put it on before they placed it on the shulchan Shamesha, but they would put it on this other Zahav shulchan, a storage table, regular table, Shemalin b'kodesh v'lo moridim, because if something was already on a Madriga of Kedusha, that it was in a beautiful golden table, we're not going to put it down and treat it with less chashiv and a silver table. And then we had, of course, the real Shulchan inside. And that was the Echad Shazav Mibifnim. That was inside of the Heichal. She'alav lechem apanim tamid. And that was the only one that actually had the lechem that we're referring to. That was Mekadesh, the lechem that was inside of the Heichal. But it was not a reference in Divrei HaYamim to the Shulchanot that Shlomo HaMelech made. That it said beferish, alav. There was a single one. That's how I understand the Shita of the Tanakhama, which seems to me the most reasonable. Where does that come from, by the way? How do we know that you don't use something on a lesser Darga of Chashivas if it was already exposed to a higher Darga? Oh, my Rebbe, you can see it from the way that the Pasuk describes the Hakamas HaMishkan Ayidei Moshe, that it wants to begin with Tikuma, and end the pasuk with Tekuma. So because of that, it says, Vayokem Moshe at HaMishkan. So now when it's talking about the beginning of the pasuk, the overall sense was the Mishkan, and of course that's the lower part of the Mishkan is the lower covering that's on top, which on top of that is the Vayok. Vayitein et Adonav, Vayasem et Kirashav, Vayitein et Brichav, and then the pasuk ends with, again, Vayokem et Amudav. So you see that we only want to use that lashon that we began with. We began with Tekuma, we end with Tekuma. We wouldn't go down at the end to speak only about Sima and the Sina. So that shows. How do we know that there's an inyan of going up where it's possible to go up? That we learn from Omar Rabbi Bar Yaakov, the Omar Kro, et machtot achatayim ha'ele b'nafshotam. What was done with the copper kalim, the machatot, that were used by the Adas Kerach to bring, and then they all died, the 250 men, and then they were scattered around the Ktoras with the machatos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, take all of those machatos of these people who destroyed their own lives, they were chataim ben afshotam, and make them into asuotam erikuei pachim tzipuila mizbeach, so hammer them out, and make them into a decoration as a cover for the mizbeach. Because, after all, kihi krivum lifnei Hashem, they were already brought in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are you going to do, throw them in the garbage? And therefore, vayigdashu. And there, when they stand on the mizbeach, they will be an ot lifnei Yisrael. This whole thing will be a remembrance l'deres. So what does that mean? At first, these machatot were used to bring ketoret. So they were a tashmishim. Tashmishim are those things that are used for the tzarech of the mizbeach. But what happens to them afterwards? They become an actual part, gufay shel mizbeach. So you see that you go up. When it's possible to go up, we go up. There's another way that we see this. Benogea, the Luchos HaBris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu about the Luchos HaBris, and he uses the words Asher Shibarta, Vechtov al Aluchot et Advarim Asher Ayu al Aluchot Arishonim Asher Shibarta. What's this Asher Shibarta? Obviously, we know what happened to them. So what's the pshat? Read the rest of the pasuk. Aluchot Arishonim Asher Shibarta V'samtam Ba'aron. So we understand that to be a remez, that even the Asher Shibarta was put into the Aron. Tani Rav Yosef, Belamed Shaluchot, Vishivrei Luchot, Menachim Baron. We put in the broken Luchos, which the letters of the Luchos had flown away, and we're still going to take the broken pieces of stone and we're putting it into the Aron, which means, says Rav Yosef, that you see from here that a Talmud Chacham who was full of all of the Osiyos HaTorah, and then Sheshachach Talmudai Machmas Einsight, he was unable to maintain all of that learning. His memory started to fail, or he got ill, or he became poor and he needed to work. He couldn't chazer, whatever it is, that you cannot be noyeg by minag bizoyin. Oh, okay, so now he's got a blank luach, so to speak. So his memory is gone, so his time is gone. So we don't have to give him any covet. You see from here that that's not true. Because the same Luchos that lost all of the Torah that was on them, They were still put into and broken pieces. We put them into the Ark. So you see, from here, she'in no'agin bo minag bizayon. That's where comes the expression. We talk about someone who maybe has dementia. Some you call him shivrei luchais. But a person is broken, shivrei luchais. A person was on a big madriga. You're not mevaz him. It's as if he's the shivrei luchais. Omer Reish Lakish. Sometimes, pa'amim, that bitulah shel Torah zeo yisuda. Well, let me just get close the sun in my eyes here. Sometimes, what appears to be a destruction of Torah, the bitul of Torah, that's what builds the Torah. So sometimes you have to do things. Like, for instance, we had the Chachamim were angry at Mordechai HaYehudi because he stopped coming to the Besdin when he was busy in the Malchus, you know, so it was being Mavatel Torah. Sometimes that is the way to be Miyase the Torah. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meramis to Moshe because it says, Asher Shibarta. Why does it say Asher Shibarta? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Asher meaning Yasher. Yasher kochacha sheshibarta. You should get a bracha that you should be strong because you did this wonderful thing of breaking a luchas. You see that was considered to be the shmirah of the Torah. The Omer Reish Lakish, tamid chacham shesarach, a tamid chacham who goes bad. Ein mevazin oto befarhesya. Even there, we don't deal with him and speak publicly about him. Shenemar. V'chashalta hayom, v'chashal gam navi imcha, laila. Amazing pasuk. So it says over there in Hosea that if you are nichshal during the day, and the navi meaning a person who's on a very high madriga, will also be nichshal with you. So you think, I could talk about the navi. Well, you wouldn't talk about yourself, would you? So why are you talking about the navi? Imcha, it has to be imcha and treat it laila. Kaseu kalaila, you have to cover, you see in English, cover up. Yeah, cover up. So you do a cover up like you would for yourself. V'yomar Reish Lakish, kala mishakeach davar echad mitalmudai, if you forget even one word of what it is that you learned, oivar belav, you're going to be over on an isser d'iraisa, shenemar hishamer lecha ushmar navshcha ma'od, Pentishkach et ha-devarim? Where do I say it's a lav? Well, we know this, like Rav Avin Amar Rabbi La. Amar Rav Avin Amar Rabbi La. Koma kom shenemar. If you find the word hishomer, or pen, or al, those are lishonos of lo tase. So since it says hishomer lecha pentishkach, so that means that it's an iser lav? Ravina Amar? No, each one is a lav. It's not hishomer pen. It's hishomer. And pen tishkach, you have to read that separately. So therefore, hishamer is, there's two lavim over here. Hishamer upen shnei lavim nino. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak Amar, well, if you read the pasuk carefully, you'll see that there's three lavim. B'shlosha lavim, shenemar, hishamer, so that's the first, hishamer. And then you have ushmor lavshecha, is also a lashon of hishamer. And then you have pen tishkach et advarim. Yochal afilu machmaton so, you might think that this is a lav, even where he was in a situation, this person who forgot because he got sick or started losing his memory or didn't have time. Talmud Omar, upen yasuru milvavecha, only b'misira milibor katul midaber. The pasuk is referring specifically to people who do things that cause the actively that they're going to end up not being able to have their learning. Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Anna, Yomer, Yochal, Afilu, Takva, Lav, Mishnato. You might think that this would be true even where it became so overwhelming and he had learned so much that all of a sudden, like the whole thing just, it was just too much to maintain in his mind to be a total. And it started fragmenting. And once it fragments, it becomes forgetful. So you might think even in that case, Talmud Lomar, Rak, Hishomer Lecha. So what's that? Rak, Rak is always a Memayit. And so it's Memayit, a case where it was Tukva Alav Mishnasai. The Rav Shulchan Aruch, by the way, paskins this halakalamaisa in how you're allowed to learn. And he has a very, very chomur shita about Hishomer Pentishkach, and he holds you're not allowed to learn more learning than you can remember. So in other words, if you learn and you chazer, you reach a maximum and you see that if I start learning more than that, I'd start forgetting some of the first part. You're not allowed to learn more because then you're going to cause forgetting on what it is that you learned. Although he agrees, as I once told Richie, who seems to be missing, that if you learn it once in your lifetime, you should learn, make sure you learn everything once, because that way in Olam Haba, you'll be able to be given the understanding of all the things that you learned, but you're not allowed to make it part of your Seder. It's quite amazing, Shita. So, you know, that's the meaning of Pentishkach. I remember once, a long time ago, when my uncle, Reb Nayach, this was before he was still young. He just started a family. So he had a Seder in which he was learning the entire Shulchan Aruch. He was memorizing all of the Sneifim of the Shulchan Aruch. So you stay up all night and review the Shulchan Aruch. And one day, the whole thing just broke down. He just got so overwhelmed. He was so depressed. It was like a disaster. And the whole thing fell apart, and Mamash could not reconstruct it. Let's learn that this is the Pshat in Rabbi Yosef, where it says, you were shokach Talmudai, that he became sick. It doesn't mean his memory was affected. It just means you don't have the time or the energy to be able to go over all of it, so then the whole thing falls apart. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the Amritar Vayu. Torah nitna ba'arba'im and Nishama notzra ba'arba'im. The Torah was given to Moshe in 40 days on Har Sinai. And it's not a coincidence that the Neshama is given to a Vlad from the moment of conception, 40 days it takes for his Neshama to be part of that Vlad. So, kol ha-mishamer torato nishmato mishtameret. If the person makes sure that he keeps his Torah by reviewing it and so on, then his Neshama, which was given in those 40 days, is also nishmeret. V'kol she'eino mishameret ha-torah, en nishmato mishtameret. If he doesn't try to take care of all of the learning that he has and review it, then Hashem doesn't take care of his neshama either. Talmud Amei Rabbi Yishmael, you know what this is like? It's like, mashallah, adam shemasar tzipor dror la'avdo. There's somebody, this rich man or the king, he gives this beautiful nightingale, you know. He gives it to his servant and he says to him, you better take care of it. So he says to him, you think that if you lose my pet bird, that I'm going to charge you $10 to get a new one? No. I'm going to take your life. You say, so what does it cost you that I forgot your Torah? No. You don't take care of my nightingale, I don't take care of yours. And this brings us right up to, Sir Richard.
Azok the Heilige Mishnah.
Moving on. I think you better check out these more soprano levels over there, Mr. Nightingale. But we're deeply appreciative. So Shnei Luchot Hayuba Ulam. Now we're talking about the Braita we spoke of just above. This is the Mishnah that actually describes those Shulchanot that we were trying to figure out what could have been the reference to those Shulchanot if they weren't the ones that were used. Those were the additional two Shulchanot that were in the Ulam Habayit. They were all the way towards the inside of the Ulam, right next to where you would walk in to the Heichal. So they were Echad Shel Shayish, the Echad Shel Zahav. So in our Mishnah, we have these two, one of them made out of marble. That was in order to make it, to keep it cool. And the other one was made out of gold. al shel shayish notin lechavatonim beknisato, and al shel zahav beyitziato. Now, there's a bit of confusion about the brayta that had the kesev shulchan and this one that has the shayish. And over there, Rashi said the reason for the kesev was in order for the kohanim to be able to rest for a moment because they had to position the lechem. Remember, they had to be put in at exactly the same moment that the other kohanim were pulling it out, as we're going to see. And here Rashi says the shayish was there for no particular purpose other than to show that maling b'kodesh. So that we'll put it down on the shayish, and that way it's going to be maling b'kodesh very powerfully. And then we put it on the zahav, as we said before. We have to put it on the shalzah. Why do we put it down? Because we can't give it out yet to the kohanim. Because until we're maktir, the kemetz levena of each one of the siddarim, we're not able to hand it out to the kohanim. Those are the matirim, and therefore the kohanim are not able to eat yet. So we leave it on that shulchan while we do the haktora of the kemetzim. Remember, it's the equivalent of kibitza. And marlin bekedesh v'loy maridim. And then, of course, there was the real shulchan shasamesha that was inside of the hechal. Echad shel zahav bibifnim shalav lechem hapanim tamid. And how do we make it tamid? Don't we have to take it off? It says over here, we take it off, we put it on. I mean, that's not really tamid, is it? Ah, but it is, you see. Because we've got four kohanim that come in to deal with that shulchan. Now, we've got two kohanim that are carrying the shnei sidrei lechem, and we've got two kohanim that are carrying the shnei bezichim. Why do we need two kohanim for shnei bezichim? Because you need to use only yamin. That's why. And since if a kohen has two right hands, he'll be a balmum, he'll be posel anyway. So therefore, we weren't able to use one kohen, so we used two kohanim. And you have another two kohanim for each of these purposes, a total of four kohanim, that they come and they go on the other side, and they walked in first to be able to pull out the old lechem and to take off the kmitza, the kermetz levena. Shnayim litol shnei bezichim. So the ones that come in that are bringing the new lechem. So hamachnisim omdim b'tzafon upnehem ledorom. So those that are bringing in the new bread. So they would stand along the wall of the Heichal. And that was to the north, because that's where, remember, we could only put the Shulchan Ot in the Tzafain. And they would face towards the south. So then that means that when they walked in, they turned, I shouldn't say turned, but they stayed all the way along the right wall, which was the northern side. And they would be facing towards the southern wall. And then they would be the ones that were in the more chash of a position. Why? Because remember that the tzofein in the Beis HaMikdash was chashuv, because that was where you would do the shechita of kachim kachim. So it bichlal is merames that there is a madrega on tzofein that is more ro'i for the higher kedusha. So you're bringing in the new lechem, so therefore you would be on the tzofein side. And the motzi'in, they would be facing the tzofein, but their backs would be along the closer to the dorim, obviously not literally in the dorim, but they were on the dorim of the shulchan, and they would be facing tzofein, and now they would both act simultaneously. And of course, over here, this is only going according to we had yesterday, the machlokas. This is talking about if you hold that the Shulchanot were, like we had learned in the Mishnah before, that they were, the length was according to the length of the bayit, and therefore the Shulchanot were arranged from Mizrach to Maharav. So therefore they would be able to pull out the Lechem, or put in the Lechem, along the other axis, which is the north-south. And then what happens is that the Kohanim, who are coming to take off the old Lechem, they start pulling out at the same time that the kohanim that are putting in the new lechem, they start putting in. So, elu moshchim, ve'elo manichim, and there's never a moment where the shulchan is left without lechem, because tivchar shel zeh k'neged tivchar shel zeh, each one's handful is next to the other guy's handful, and that is mekayim lefanai tamid. Shinema lefanai tamid. Reb Yossi Aimer, listen, it's all very nice and very dramatic, but I mean, it's an exaggeration because we don't need to do it this way. The word tamid does not mean every moment. Afilu elo notlin ve'elo menichin, it wouldn't make any difference if they completely took off the old lechem and then afterwards the Kohanim put on the new lechem. That would also be called tamid, because tamid doesn't mean every moment. Tamid means every day or every night, as we see from other places, but we'll talk about it more detailed later. Anyway, getting back to what did we do? And then when they went out, Yatzul, when they were carrying the lechem that they had removed, Nitanum al Shulchan Hazahav Shayabu Ulam, they put them down on that table that was gold. They brought the bezicha to the Mizbeach, burnt the Levina, and then they would be able to give out the chalot that had been on the Shulchan all week. They were able to give them out fresh and yummy to the Kohanim. So, chalot mitchalkot la Kohanim. But what happens if Shabbos is on Yom Kippur? Oh my gosh, then they cannot eat. So what happens then? Chal Yom HaKippurim liyot b'Shabbat. So then achalot mitchalkot la'erev. Obviously, we can't eat them on Yontav. We don't give them out on the Shabbos itself, which is the Yontav of Yom Kippur. And we can't keep it till tomorrow morning, because by then it will be pasul belina. So basically, we don't want to even hand it out today, because there's always a chashash, you know, you're holding this beautiful lechem, you forget for a moment, and you put it in your mouth. So we waited until after Yom Kippur to be mechalek v'chala. Chali yod be'erev Shabbat. In those days, remember, Yom Kippur could come out any day, because they didn't have the calendar that we were mitakein, that you cannot have Yom Kippur ever coming out on an Erev Shabbos. So if actually Yom Kippur came out Erev Shabbos, and then you had a problem with the Seder of Yom HaKippurim. Because how do you eat? The Seder of Yom HaKippurim, remember, was a standard Seder of the Musafim, and it was eaten like any chatas that's nikrav b'chutz. So how in the world would they be able to be yotze the chiyuv of the achila of the kayanim, since they couldn't prepare it? They'd have to wait until Shabbos to eat it, because Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur. You couldn't cook it on Yom Kippur. You couldn't wait till after Shabbos, because it would be Nifsal. So it would need to be eaten raw. And indeed, they had these Bavliim. They had these big Shlob Kohanim who were able to eat anything. They called them Bavliim. Well, see, they weren't really Bavliim, but they liked to call big Shlobs Bavliim. So the Bavliim would then eat it raw, b'pnei shedatan yafa, because they had very strong stomachs. All right, so, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aimer, listen, you think Rabbi Yossi only meant that it would be if you set it down and then you put it 2 minutes later? No. Afilu sileket hayishana shacharit v'sideret hachadasha arvit en b'kakukum. Doesn't matter if you took off the old chalos in the early morning and then you put the last minute of the day, you put in the new chalos. That's fine. It's the mani mekayem lefanai tamid. Tamid simply means shelo yalin shulchan belo lechem. Shouldn't leave the shulchan without lechem for an entire period of a day or an entire period of a night. But it doesn't mean literally you have to put it in and take it out at the same instant. That's a nice hidur, I understand, but it certainly is not the meaning. Don't say shenemar lefanai tamid. Rabbi Ami, we understand from Rabbi Yossi that if he holds that something is considered to be always, so then if it's only done once a day or once a night, you're saying it's considered to be always. So if it's always, let's say somebody learns in the morning, and he learns in the night. So afilu lo shana adam el perek echad shachris u perek echad arvis. he would be Mekayim Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha. The Torah shall never be out of your mouth. Yoni Vigisa Yom Valaila. So you would be Yotze. Because according to him, it's the equivalent of being Tamid Ala Shulchan. So this is Tamid in your Limud HaTorah. Omar Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he doesn't really need to learn a perek in the daytime and a perek in the nighttime. Didn't he say Kriyat Shema? So afilu lo kara adam ela Kriyat Shema Shachris v'Arvis. If he had even had just said Kriyat Shema, he would be Yotzin, because it's lo yamush. As long as he understood that when he's saying Kriyat Shema, he's not saying some kind of tefillah, but he has in mind that this is Torah and that he's learning Torah. However, Tanis Rabbi Yochanan, make sure you don't tell this to Adam Haaretz, because then they'll never learn anything, and they'll just sit there and say, oh, well, I said Kriyat Shema, that's it for today. Whew. Now let's get back to the TV. So you're not allowed to tell Adam Haaretz that he's Yotze just with Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis. Says Rav, on the contrary, it's a mitzvah to say this to Adam Haaretz, because if, listen, he's going to think to himself, so what are all these guys busting their rear ends for? You know, they all said Kriyat Shema, and they sit there all day, and they're learning up a storm, and they're going to Daf Yomi, and they watch Richie suffering, and he just comes directly from Kriyat Shema, and he sits down, and he suffers again. My gosh, what's he doing? He must know that the great Schar of Limud HaTorah is worth suffering, even though you learned it, so they'll learn even more. Or they'll concentrate. There's a lot of different approaches why it's a mitzvah, but they'll understand that at least this way they're going to be mechaving to be yotzei the Limud HaTorah. So it gives them a greater sense of connection to what could be Torah. Shaul ben Dama, ben Achoto shel Rabbi Yishmael. So ben Dama, who was a nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, asked Rabbi Yishmael, he said, look, I've learned Kol HaTorah Kula, and I'm a baki b'Kol HaTorah Kula. So do I need to necessarily learn only Torah? I would like, now remember that the Chachomim asserted learning Chochma Yavanis. Remember we had in the fight between the Achim of the Chashmonai, where they had that terrible story in which they brought the Chazar up instead of the Korban Tamid, they asserted, and they said, Oror, a person who will teach his son Chochma Yavanis. Now, they needed to have people. Remember, Chochma Yavanis did not mean Greek philosophy. Chochma Yavanis meant rhetoric that was usable to say things that no one else would know what you're saying unless they were bekiyim in how to be unpack your words. So he wanted to know, since there were such people that were needed in the government, Lamaisa. So would I be allowed to do that? I'm not being Mavatel Torah. Ma'al Ilmed Chochmas Yavanis. Koralav Amikra says, or Yishmael said to him, by the way, you see something very important over here that people miss, which is that obviously you can be Yotze the mitzvah of learning Kol HaTorah Kula. It's incredible how few people know that. That's the whole basis of the Rambam. That's what the Rambam is saying. You can know Kol HaTorah Kula if you read my book. That's the point. So what about all the Gemara? Everybody goes crazy. What about the Gemara? But the idea of it there is, of course, that the Torah Kula does not include Gemara in the sense of the way to learn, to teach you how to think and to answer all the steeras to the brises. That's not part of knowing Kol HaTorah Kula. Torah Kula, obviously it has a shir. Raya Moshe Rabbeinu was given Kol HaTorah Kula, and he taught over, as the Rambam says, Kol HaTorah Kula. So then that means that there's two completely different mitzvahs. This mitzvah of the Lo Yomush and so on, that is a mitzvah being Oisek B'Torah. The amelus in Torah, the deeper understanding, the broadening of your chidushim and so on, training of your mind, all of those things are included in Gemara, and all of the things that make you appreciate more and more the implications of whatever you're learning. That's why the Rambam includes all of science in the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but it's all in terms of Lo Yomush. It's not in terms of the body of Torah. So that's what Ben Dama was saying. I'm already a Yodea Torah. So I was Mekayim the mitzvah. Now the question is, Do I have a right to just do things that are mamash stam bittel and they're just needs? So therefore he said, Lo yomur sefra Torah zemi picha v'higita bo yomam v'layla. Higita means to work on it, think about it, gemara it up. That's the higita part. So there should constantly be a way that you should look into it, contemplate the things that you're learning. Okay, so if you can find a time that is not yomam v'layla, gesundheit, go out and use it for chokhmat yevanit and for the A team. So tseyu bedok sha'a she'ina lo min hayom v'lo min halayla, and that would be fine to be lamod b'chokhmat yevanit. Upligad Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, what Rabbi Shmuel said to him, doesn't work according to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, because Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni holds that pasuk that everybody quotes, v'higita bo yomam v'layla, is not a mitzvah. It's a bracha. Pasuk zeh enu lo chova v'lo mitzvah. There's no such chiyuv of working day and night on Torah. That was a bracha that was given to Yehoshua. Ra'ah HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Yehoshua, Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Alav Biyoter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the love that Yehoshua, it's the same Lashon, right? Hamish, the same Lashon. Lo Yomush. Lo Yomush Mitoch HaOil. Says, oh, this is a guy that wants to be Lo Yomush. I'll give him a mitzvah that Lo Yomush, this Divrei Torah, should never be out of his mouth. So, because of that, it was so chaviv, shenemar, umesharto Yehoshua ben Nun nahar lo yamish mitoch ha'ol. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehoshua, you're such a sweetheart. Kol kach chavivim alecha divrei Torah, I'm going to give you the same thing in return. Lo yamush, sefer HaTorah zeh mipicha. A beautiful understanding of the pasuk. So this was like a gift to Yehoshua, that he should never have to stop his esek in learning. Tanedevei Rabbi Yishmael, Divrei Torah lo yu alecha chuva. This is not like something that you got to potter yourself up with. That's the point. It may have a body in which you can learn it, but it's not like a chiv that you pay it with a certain amount. And yatarushay liftarat zbecha behen. You can't, because you say, well, I was already yotzei, I paid back my Torah, I know the whole thing now. There's no such thing as pottering yourself from Torah. Omar Chizkia, my dechtiv, va'af hasitacha mipitzar achav lo mutzak tachteha. This is a fascinating pasuk. It's one of those very opaque psukim in the Iyov. So what exactly does it mean to be mesit? To be mesit means to seduce. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu seduces you or entices you from a very narrow mouth. Huh? What does that mean? And then it says, a narrow mouth that is wide. I don't get it. Is it narrow or is it wide? Rachav lo mutzak tachteh. Doesn't have any solid bottom. You know, this is a question. If you fall on Jupiter, do you ever hit bottom? You know? So this is the shaila. What happens if you fall into hell? That's the issue. Well, the entrance is very thin. But it doesn't seem to have a clear-cut bottom, so I don't know what kind of parachute you might take. So that's what it's referring to. Why is it called this? Because, we'll see, the Gehenna, we don't want any of its heat and smoke and sulfurous fumes escaping, do we? So we don't want to have a wide opening. So we just have enough opening for you to get your toesies and the rest of you in, and then you can go into free fall without a bottom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu seduces people away from that entrance. So, when we use the word seduction or enticement in the Torah, it's always for bad things, right? And so on. Okay, so that's that word. We're using the same word over here, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to people. So, midas basar v'dam, if you're using that concept of hasata, you're always trying to seduce them into doing something wrong. So, mesit et chavero midarkei chayim ledarkei mita. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. He also is a seductor. But he's mesis midarkei misa ledarkei chayim, to seduce you away from that small opening. Shenemar va'av hasitcha mipitzar. That's a reference to Gehinnom. Shapiatsar, Sha'ashanat Savur, we want to make sure that all of that smoke is Savur Betocha and doesn't escape. So then you'll think, oh, so that means it's not so bad, right? I mean, it's just, you know, just like a closet. Shema Tomar Kishem Shapiatsar, Kachkulatsar. Talmud Lamar Hemi Kirchiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has deepened it and widened it to handle all of its new customers. Shema Tomar, maybe you'll think, okay, but, you know, it's only for lower-class people. I mean, if a person learned Torah and then he went off with Tarbus Ra and he gave up on the Torah, became a politician, whatever, you'd think that there's no hell for him. I mean, he's already a king, isn't he? Shema Tomar La Melech Lo Uchana. Oh, no, Tamil Omar. Gami La Melech Uchana. No, no, no. There's also nice places there for kings. Shema Tomar Ein Baitzim. All right, I mean, how much fuel could you have in just one Gehenim, you know? It's for sure they're going to run out of fuel there by the time I get there, you know? Shal Sheva Tomar Ein Baitzim, Talmud Lomar Medurata Eish Veitzim Harbe. You know, it's got big storage rooms. Jupiter's not big enough. Shal Sheva Tomar Zehu Schara. So maybe you'll say the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be so kind to you that he's going to seduce you away from Gehenna if you're Isaac and Terah, that's the schar for Terah, is that you don't land up in hell. No. Talmud Lomar v'nachat shulchanecha malei deshen, and your table, those of you who are sitting and learning Terah, yours will be filled and rich with the most delicious foods and taliskers. Okay, so now getting back to the Mishnah, where we had Chal Yom HaKippurim L'yot B'Shabbat, so then the Bavliim would have to eat the soyer of Yom Kippur. They would have to eat it raw, because otherwise it would become Nivsa Belina, and it would be nicer. And the truth is, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, they weren't really Bavliim. Bavliim weren't such big schlubs and able to eat raw meat. Lo Bavliim. The truth is that these were Alexandrian, you know. So they had practice on, you know, eating these fancy thin slices of raw meat, you know. So that's what we're talking about. They were from Alexandria. But since the Chachamim hate the guts of the Bavliim, because they continue to live in Lakewood, refuse to come and be part of Eretz Yisrael. So they said, if they want to talk about slobs, they call them Bavliim, but they weren't really Bavliim. So Korino Tamal Shem Bavliim. Because remember, we had the whole Mizrach with Reish Lakish, which is like, I swear I ate your guts. That was a Shalom Aleichem to Tamil Chachom who came from Bava. Tanya Nami Achi. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Bavliim Heim. They were Alexandrian Heim. When we talk to Sonim et Bavliim, Korim Otam Al Shem Bavliim. Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda, of course, who is from Bavel, he said, oh, thank you. Thank you. Tanuach dat, chash inach dat. It always used to break my heart. You know, they used to, oh my God, this is the way Bavliim are. They're just like big schlubs. But now I understand. All right. I know that we're hated. But now at least I don't have to feel that we're such schlubs. Okay, beautiful.